Welcome to the Atlantic City Story. I'm Nicholas Shuba, and again joining me this week, Dave, you're back.
I am. I think I'm back for good. Unless you know something I don't.
I have no idea at this point. Stop asking questions. It was a pretty.
Is that what you guys pay me to do?
Yeah. Yes. Correct. Pretty chaotic week in Atlantic City. Let's start at the top. We'll start on Sunday. You know, the protest and the protest turned ugly. At one point on Sunday, I think I tweeted like, I was really proud of Atlantic City for having this great, this protest that meant something, that meant a big, good deal to everybody, that was done the right way and all these other things. And then a couple hours later, it went off the rails. And, you know, on Monday we circled back and, you know, we kind of got to see the real Atlantic City is the Atlantic City that we all love at covering it for years. And you too. Is a community that cares a lot about itself. And that was shown on Monday afternoon.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you touched on a couple of really important things there. And I want to start off by acknowledging the fact that Sunday's protest against, you know, police brutality and indiscriminate law enforcement practices across the country in Atlantic City was successful. It was peaceful. It was well done. You know, about 300 people showed up. You know, Atlantic City prides itself on the diversity of its community, and that was on full display on Sunday. You know, unfortunately, that didn't carry out over into the evening, and you know, there was a handful of bad actors who took advantage of the situation. You know, there's a lot of kind of second guessing, and you know, hindsight. You know, should we have done this? Could this have been stopped? You know. Those are all good discussions and they're worthy of having. But listen, I mean, it wasn't a citywide riot. And I don't want to downplay and I don't want to minimize what happened on Sunday night, right? Because by no means do I want to go down that road. But I want to make very clear, and you know, Council President Tibbett said this on Monday morning, it could have been worse. It could have been a lot worse, yeah. Right? I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, yes, stores got broken into and looted and you know, there were some other areas around town that were susceptible and to this vandalism and this damage. But by and large, you know, we didn't see anything like confrontations between rioters and police. We didn't see any real escalations of violence. I mean, there was nothing set on fire. There were no cars overturned. I mean, this could have been a lot worse. And then, like you said, on Monday morning, you know, yes, there was a press conference to sort of talk about all that. But I also want to give a shout out and acknowledge that there was a large contingent of volunteers and city residents who, at the crack of dawn on Monday, were out there cleaning up the streets. Because they do. They love their city. They take pride in their city. And I think you hit the nail on the head, man. That's why Atlantic City endears itself to all of us, is because we know it's not just about the beaches and the casinos and the history and all of that. I mean, the people in Atlantic City are extraordinary, and they put that on full display on Monday morning. And I think that's something that absolutely cannot be overlooked here, how important and how impactful and how powerful that statement was following what happened on Sunday.
In the community to come together like that at a time like this, you know, it's remarkable in a way. You know, we, as you said, we can, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. We can look back. Could they've done more to protect those businesses that were under fire on Sunday night? I'm sure there'll be, people will look into that. Let's be honest, there'll be postmortems and we'll know all the answers to that kind of stuff.
I mean, Marty Small, the mayor, Marty Small, I mean, he fell on his sword both Sunday night and Monday. I mean, he admitted the fact that there were things the city should have done differently. Right. And I don't know what more you could ask for out of a leader who recognizes, yeah, we were unprepared. Yes, we came up short here. And, you know, he owned that. But yet he was also part of the solution. So, you know, sometimes you just have to give credit where credit's due.
And we've, you know, we see it in the city and their community groups. And, you know, I've covered different cities throughout my career, and covering that one, that is a very, like, powerful community group. Like, they're very interconnected with each other. It's it's almost in some ways the community goes to the community group before they go to the city government. Like, this is how, and that's what I love about the city. They go to a basketball game there. It's packed. There's a passion there, you know, and we saw that passion Monday, you know, and we saw that on Sunday during the afternoon, and they cared, and
right.
You know, and that's not lost. It's the biggest little city in the world in a way, you know, and it there was a great quote by, I forget who it is. You go around the world, you mention Atlantic City, like everyone knows it. It's only got like 30-something thousand people in it. Like it's a small town. It's town to a lot of people, but it's just amazing to see them come back and kind of rally, you know, and I hope it continues. You know, there's still a lot of work to be done. Let's be honest. Like, this isn't going away for a while, I don't think. And we need to, you know, there's going to be discussions. There's going to be difficult discussions that are going to need to be had because the police department has a record with some of the stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's not sugarcoat this in a way, you know, right. The stats bear it out. And there's going to have to be discussion between the police department and the community leaders and things like that about this overall issue, like we're having right now around the state and around the country.
And you know, let's also point out that, you know, Atlantic City does sort of have a vehicle to make that happen a little bit more smoothly than maybe some other places. You know, they have the Citizens Advisory Board in place, which was one of those recommendations that came out of Jim Johnson's state report. But, you know, the city implemented that very quickly, and you have community leaders on that board, and they're in direct communication with the police department about all of these larger issues, right? I mean, they're micro and macro issues that are discussed on that board. And I could only imagine that the next public meeting of the Citizens Advisory Board, they have quarterly public meetings, you know, whenever that is, this is clearly going to be a topic of discussion, and they'd all be failing if that wasn't a topic of discussion. They'd all be derelict in their duty if they didn't talk about this. So, you know, clearly it's going to be discussed, and Atlantic City, you know, is a place where people are probably going to pay attention to sort of how this unfolds. Because of the things you mentioned, right? I mean, there is a history here. There are things that have happened in the community, and let's be honest, still take place today, that need to be addressed and need to be done quickly.
Yeah, we're going to pivot off that, and I think everyone's kind of hit a reset button in a way with kind of what's going on around the world right now. You know, this is a topic that is not going away for a while, and you know. Everyone's going to have to take a hard look in the mirror about themselves and about the way we look at things, you know, and the way we are as a society. And I'll just leave it at that. And we'll move on to like the stuff that we really like have fun with and other stuff in about 2 seconds. But I just think we're going to have to reset and kind of figure a lot of this stuff out. Yep. You know, we should have figured it out earlier. Let's be honest. We should have figured all this stuff out. Now we're going to have to figure it out. And that's
as a royal, we all dropped the ball. Yeah, you know, and I think we all need to acknowledge that, and now we need to figure out what the next steps are and how do we move forward.
So on that awkward pivot, let's talk about some of the things that we can have fun with and enjoy in life and do. So I know I get a phone call every couple of days about from a guy I don't know where he's from. Calls me and asks me, "Hey, do you know when the casinos are opening?" I always say, "Nah, you know, we don't know anything more than you do, yada, yada, yada." And then we have this discussion. It's like every other day or every 2 days or something.
Well, it's funny. I got called out on Twitter the other day because, you know, I was told that there should be a story in our paper every day about when the casinos are going to reopen. You know, I told the gentleman that I disagreed with that because I think it's been pretty well covered. And honestly, I don't think it's something that's going to be a state secret when it happens. I mean, everyone will know. But nonetheless,
it'll be the shortest story you ever wrote. Not today.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but so when are the casinos going to reopen? That is obviously the big question. But there's a second question here that is just as important and is tied to that first one. And that's, what are they going to look like when they do reopen?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we're getting closer to really seeing what that's going to look like for a number of reasons. One, you know, on Thursday, Las Vegas started reopening their casinos. Other jurisdictions have already done it, right? I mean, Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods and Connecticut have done it. There's a couple of other states that have already reopened their casino operations. So we've sort of seen a glimpse, a snapshot, if you will, of what we can probably expect here in New Jersey. With that being said, this is always kind of the asterisk in New Jersey. Since our regulatory body, the Division of Gaming Enforcement and the Casino Control Commission, are largely considered, if not the gold standard, you know, certainly 1A of regulatory bodies in this country when it comes to gaming. And the fact that New Jersey, New York, and this greater metropolitan area was a hotbed of coronavirus, the restrictions, the regulations, the protocols in New Jersey are going to be different and likely more stringent than you've seen in other places. So with that being said, you know, we can expect guests on staff, right? Because we've seen that in other places.
Mm-hmm.
Will we see mandated guests or masks for guests in Atlantic City? We don't know that, right? I mean, it certainly seems that based on, you know, going to the grocery store, you need a mask. Going, you know, when the barbershops and the hair salons open up on the 22nd, you're going to need a mask. I can't imagine that there's going to be an exemption there for casinos to not have a mask for guests.
And especially after he's been so, like, Murphy's been very, very, like, this is one thing he said, this as a quote, it's a tough nut to crack.
Yeah.
Or it's a tough nut. Like, this is everything where the coronavirus lives in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's inside, ventilation, lots of people, sedentary. I'm starting to sound like him right now. And this is just hard. Let's be honest about something. This is really hard. Like, we could put out 96 different health protocols and you minusculely mess up one and it could be a mess. Like, that's how crazy this is.
So I want to reference two things that I've read recently. One was Steve Politi's article. great, absolute firsthand account.
A picture of him in a mask is my favorite thing. Fantastic. It should be his Twitter profile.
If he doesn't keep that as his Twitter profile for the next 6 months, I might never read him again. Just kidding. Steve, I love your work. So that was a great little sort of snapshot and a firsthand account of what you can expect, you know, talking about, you know, the sanitizing of the chips and, you know, the plexiglass when he was playing craps and, you know, how he wanted to, you know, give a fist bump or a high five to the guy next to him. And they both were kind of really awkward on how to do that. Right. I mean, that's one part. The second thing is our old friend, Steve Ruddick, who used to be an analyst for playnj.com and now works for BetUSA. He wrote a column yesterday that I thought was interesting. And he said, you know, if the casino, and you just sort of hit on it, if there's just one misstep when it comes to these health and safety protocols on a casino floor, the worst case scenario could absolutely happen here. And that worst case scenario is we see that spike, but also we get another shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, Murphy said, you know, it's a tough nut to crack. I think he's cognizant of that. I think he's aware of the fact that one small misstep here, one thing that gets overlooked or one thing that's not followed through with, you know, with dotted I's and crossed T's could seriously cause a problem that none of us want to deal with.
It only takes one person not washing their hands, one person not wearing a mask, and it could go to like crazy land in 2 seconds.
Yeah, man.
Like, I don't mean to be like that kind of person, but like, if you follow the stuff and the way it happens, there's an article a couple months ago when it's all started about this Champions League game in Italy that became like the freaking breeding ground for the whole situation in Italy. And it basically was a group of people, and then it broke into Spain because they're playing Valencia. And it just became like this wildfire that spread. Think about that. It's not 60,000 people. But let's be honest, there's a large amount of people. And then you take the idea, the concept of it, of then they go back to where they're from, because no one lives at the casino. So they all go back to the communities where they're from.
Man.
And then you just basically have another explosion. Like, this is stuff that's like this is like, it only takes one misstep. And that's what a dicey situation it is.
I've said it before and I'll say it again, man. I don't envy the position that, you know, people like Governor Murphy or Dave Reebok, the director of the Division of Gaming Enforcement, or even the casino executives at this point are in. I mean, they have a lot of responsibility on their plates right now. And I know for a fact they're all taking it seriously, but I don't envy them, man.
Okay, so let's get to we've talked about the concepts for a couple of weeks now. Do we think we hear something sometime soon?
I do. I you know, speaking with some industry folks, you know, they've submitted their individual property plans. There's an industry sort of wide, kind of more broad plan that's also been introduced. My understanding is that, you know, it has to go through a couple levels. It's got to be approved by the DGE. And then that's probably going to get passed on to senior officials in the Murphy administration for their approval. But I do suspect that we're going to hear something probably next week. And, you know, whether it's announcing what the protocols are and giving a timetable for a reopening date, or if it is actually setting that date, because, I think you and I were talking about this, you know, the casinos are going to need some time to kind of ramp this back up. It's not just flipping on a light switch and all of a sudden everything goes back to normal. You know, they have to set up the reservation system. They have to get people back, you know, from an HR perspective, they have to get people back onboarded because they were all laid off. I mean, they have to bring back staff.
You got to get them tested. Like, this is a runway here.
You know, the employees are going to be tested. So there's some things that need to happen that it's going to take time. So I think what we're going to see is we'll see the protocols put out. We'll probably get a date that's probably 2, maybe 3 weeks down the road. So
July 4th,
right around that July 4th timeframe, which, you know, if we had a bingo board up, man, I've been calling that since March. I've said July. So I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit there, cause it looks like my prediction's coming pretty close. That's what I'm hearing. That's kind of where we're at right now. So I wouldn't be surprised to hear something, when Governor Murphy gives his daily COVID-19 press briefings sometime next week. You know, it might be the week after that, pretty early, but, you know, I can't imagine we're not going to hear something pretty soon coming up on the horizon.
And just remember, a clean hand is the best hand, which is my favorite part of that whole story from Paletti. And I actually want that. Whatever property can get me that shirt right away, please send it to me.
Those signs are fantastic, man. bravo to Mohegan Sun marketing team up there, because brilliant.
A clean hand is the best hand. All right, we'll touch on one last thing. We've dealt with the serious. We've dealt with the serious, but the place where we can have some fun a little bit. Yep. And now we'll talk about what we all love to talk about, budgets, because everyone loves a good budget discussion on a Saturday afternoon.
Sure.
One of the things that's interesting, you know, Marty Small had a press conference on Thursday now. I don't know what day it is, I swear. On Thursday, discussed the budget. And he said that there's going to be a tax decrease.
Yeah, he proposed a budget for 2020 that has a, you know, about a 5% decrease in the municipal tax rate. You know, he was joined at that press conference by Council President George Tibbett. So, you know, you have to assume that there's at least some council support to get this budget passed, which is a necessary step. And, you know, the state will have to sign off on it as well. But, you know, there's no way to spin a tax decrease, even if it's just the one out of the three portions of a property tax bill. There's no way to spin that as a bad thing. Now, there's going to be some questions, and there's going to need to be a little more clarification about kind of how this is working, you know, because we are in the middle of a recession. You know, the state is saying that it's broke. You know, other municipalities around the state are talking about furloughing employees because they don't have money coming in. So, you know, rightfully so, there's some questions about how Atlantic City is able to pull this off. But we do know, based off of some information that we got from the administration during that press conference and afterwards, you know, the city did get an increase in the casino pilot payment based off of 2019's gaming revenue that can be used for the 2020 budget. So that's a nice chunk of change. And then there were some line items in the 2019 budget where the revenue ended up exceeding the projections in that year's budget. So, you know, the city does have a little bit of money here to play with, and that's probably helping them make these projections, because that's what they are at this point. You know, until the state passes its budget and the city knows what it's going to get from the state, you know, there's kind of a big question mark there for one of the city's main sources of revenue for its budget. But nonetheless, you know, the math does pretty much check out, and that's a positive for the people of Atlantic City.
Good. You know, these things are always very fluid right now, especially the state hasn't introduced their budget and Murphy and all that jazz. So, you know, it's interesting. I think this one will take a little while to play out here, considering when's the state supposed to introduce their budget?
So in normal times, if everybody remembers when that was, the state usually had to pass its budget by the end of June, because the fiscal year begins on July 1st. Obviously, coronavirus has put that back a little bit. Off the top of my head, I'm not recalling a date that the budget has to be approved by. If the legislature and the governor had made any changes to that, I'm not sure.
I think they did. I don't know when, though. And then they borrowed all the money yesterday. So it's
the introduction or the passing of a budget is one of those constitutional things, right? So
they did move it. I know that. I remember that. Okay. Yeah, they had to. They had no other choice.
I know they didn't have a choice. I'm just wondering sort of the legality of doing that, because it's not. Well, I don't want to get too wonky on people, but yeah, so they moved it back.
A pandemic beats constitutional law sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Send your cards and letters to me.
So we probably will not see a state budget or what that state's figure for a few more weeks anyway.
Well, Dave, I think we'll wrap it up here. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for everything. And I guess I'll talk to you soon, but we'll hear from you next week. And hopefully we do get a date. And I think that'd be kind of a glimmer on the other side here, see what's going on. Like, so I think people would be generally excited for that.
That it happens sooner rather than later, but that it happens safely and responsibly. And, somewhere there's got to be a nice marriage of those things. So hopefully that's coming soon.
I will leave it on that note, because I've got nothing else. Guys, thanks for joining us.